From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Maureen McCollum. People who've had a chance to vote since the Wisconsin legislature approved a new law requiring voters to show a picture ID have been educated at the polls about the new law. But for thousands of other people who have not voted yet, FYI, the new law is now in place. Starting with February's primary, voters have to show a photo ID before they are allowed to cast a ballot. For a law that, on the surface, appears pretty straightforward, there are many nuances that could affect groups of people who don't have a photo ID or don't have the right type of ID. A series of educational meetings designed to answer questions voters may have are being held next week in the La Crosse area. WPR's John Davis recently talked with La Crosse County Aging Unit Director Noreen Holmes and Jane Claycamp, president of the League of Women Voters of the La Crosse area. They talked about the law and the forums.
Historically, Wisconsin has not had the requirement that a person needed to have a photo ID to be able to vote. So what happened is that the bill was passed that someone has to have a valid ID, and the legislature identified what a valid photo ID is for someone to be able to vote in the state of Wisconsin. So, for example, a driver's license would qualify as long as it's valid. It doesn't have to have, by the way, the correct address on it. It just has to have the photo on it. The other passports will work. Military identification will work. And those are the main, there are some other ones, but those are the main kinds of IDs that will work for the voter ID. So starting in February of 2012, each person will have to have some sort of an identification that has a photo of them on it. There is also, I think, still there's some discussion about students and what it means for students. I don't know if that's been outlined completely yet.
You know, a lot of people who have an expired driver's license could still vote as long as it didn't expire before November 2nd, 2010. It's been a bit of an evolution, the process of getting the ID. How do you get it? How do you get it free? At first, if you went to the DMV to get your photo ID, they could not tell you you're entitled to a free ID to vote. And so if you didn't mark the correct box, you were then charged $28, the cost of a photo ID with the state. It's been a process to kind of get rid of some of the, I don't know what you call them, the sticky points of getting this ID. Because what we don't want to do, we don't want to disenfranchise people. I mean, it's your right to vote, and you should be able to exercise that right to vote. Initially, they were saying after you go to the DMV to get your photo ID, then they will mail the photo ID to you and processed from another state, and it would take about 2 weeks to get the photo ID. So then they had to create a way that you could use your receipt as an affidavit so that you could vote if the election was going to come before you would get your photo ID back. And all of these things say to me that the process was not well thought out. And it's kind of, it may be in its evolved stage now, but it's been a process to get here. And I think there needs to be, there should be an easy process. If there's a requirement like this, there should be an easy way to meet the requirement. This has been complicated, and there just are too many ifs, ands, and buts in my mind.
Who is at risk of being disenfranchised in this process? And I assume that's who you're trying to reach out to.
It's interesting because there are, you sort of hear a group of people that people are concerned about. One are the elderly, who may not have had a driver's license for years, but always vote. And Noreen would probably know a lot more about that than I do. Then there are people who, students, people tend to be concerned about students and their ability to be able to vote. And then there's a group of people that, you know, homeless people, for example, people who don't have a place to live, how would they be able to get an ID, because to be able to get an ID, one needs to have an address. And if one doesn't have an address, one can't get an ID. So if someone doesn't have a home, as far as I can tell, they wouldn't be able to get an ID to be able to vote. So we have concerns about anyone who, you know, doesn't fit into the traditional sort of way of life. So if one hasn't had, never got a driver's license, one doesn't drive a car, then they would have to go through special steps to be able to get the voter ID. So it tends to be the people who we're more concerned about are the people who are already on the fringes of, you know, the community. And this is just one more thing that makes it more difficult for them to be able to vote.
The others that I think could be disenfranchised are anyone who doesn't really have access or easy access to their certified birth certificate. Mm-hmm. If you're in Wisconsin, I think they have even suggested, maybe it's passed, that they would waive the fee for you to get the certified copy of your birth certificate. But if you were born out of state, it can cost you $25, $28, I've even seen $30. A lot of them require that you have a photo ID that shows you're this person in order to get the certified copy of your birth certificate. It's almost cruel because some of the very people who aren't driving are the same people who maybe are going to have trouble getting a copy of their birth certificate. So, you know, help is out there, but you're still talking about, you know, a hefty fee in most cases in order to get that birth certificate.
Noreen, you're here with representing the La Crosse County Aging Unit. Mm-hmm. Have you heard from a lot of seniors about this? Is there a lot of concern about it? And what is the concern exactly that you're hearing?
I think the concern I'm hearing is a general concern for the process and what it's really about, that people think it's not right, fair. There have been articles several times about elderly people. They're in their 90s. They lived in the same house since they were 35 and have voted in the same polling place for all these years, and now they're going to be asked to show a photo ID. It seems ludicrous. But the people that we've heard about or heard the most about are the people who early on tried to do it right away so they'd be all set so they could vote. And then they didn't know about check the box, so they were charged $28. Some of those have been refunded. But I would say the most people we hear from are just those who think it's not a good thing to have this burden placed on people in order to vote.
I know since I believe the year 2000 election, with all the concern in Florida, there have been random reports in Wisconsin of voter fraud, especially in the Milwaukee area. As somebody from the League of Women Voters, have you heard about instances of widespread fraud in the La Crosse area?
No, there's, as far as we can tell, there's not been widespread voter fraud anywhere in Wisconsin. And that, again, what it tends to be, it would be people who are felons and are still on probation. Sometimes they will vote, and that is something they can't do until they're finished with probation. That would be one way that there could be voter fraud. And then the other way would be that someone is registered in two places. And technically, I believe that's a violation to be registered in two different districts or precincts. So I think that those are the two different types of voter fraud that I've heard about. But even if one looks, there just has not been any. I think there has been one case where there was found to be voter fraud, but there hasn't been a great deal of it in Wisconsin.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio. Our guests are Noreen Holmes, she's the director of the La Crosse County Aging Unit, and Jane Kleekamp, she's president of the League of Women Voters of the La Crosse area. They're talking about Wisconsin's voter ID law and a series of forums that are being held in La Crosse County to inform people about the new law. Voters in La Crosse County have had a lot of practice voting, and I know that's been part of what we've seen since this law passed, was to use the elections in 2011 as sort of a practice run for this new law to educate people. Poll workers have done their best to educate them. How prepared do you think the voters in the La Crosse area are to deal with this new law when it comes before them in February?
This is a total guess. I mean, I'm doing the best guess like so many people were. If there's an issue, I don't think we'll really notice it until the next presidential election. I think people who vote in February or April are regular voters and have heard about this. I think when this may come up as a concern will be in an election that brings in voters that don't always vote. And so from my perspective, the February voters are the same one who were there last year that heard about needing a voter ID or a photo ID, and it won't be as big of a surprise. It might be a surprise for someone who isn't all that connected with voting issues, only votes in the presidential elections or when some other issue comes up that they find interest in. So I think that might be more of a tell for where the issue is going to come up will be the next presidential election. When I went to vote, you know, some of the interesting things I saw were the people who appear to be disgruntled with the fact they have to show a voter ID, and the, you know, the poll workers would say, you know, I have to give you the sheet of paper indicating that next time you'll need a photo ID, and people would say, I don't want it, and they would say, well, we have to give it to you, and they'd say, well, fine, I'm going to leave it here. I mean, it was really interesting to watch that process of people who were, again, it goes back to what Noreen had said, they've been voting for a long time, and in some ways I think people feel insulted that there hasn't been an issue, and so now, you know, we have to deal with it and figure out how to educate people the best way that we can. But my sense that I get from people is they're feeling unhappy with the fact that this has happened. My guess is we won't hear about it as much in, you know, the early elections as we will possibly next fall. So it gives us a little bit of time to help people, but it still is a huge concern for us just about who doesn't know about this. I mean, there could be a lot of people and we just don't know who they are.
Well, when I think of elderly voters, I think of people who fought in World War II, went through the Great Depression, really are the folks who built this country into what we are today. And I think just the very idea of putting barriers in the way of them voting, it's very foreign to me, but I think to them it is very insulting, just as Jane said. What a sad thing, you know. I work with many elderly people. I visit people in nursing homes. I see a lot of people who have been productive for so many years of their lives, and so now they're coming to, you know, a time when they maybe are physically not able to get places easily as they may have done in the past. Maybe they're even having some issues, you know, with chronic disease, or maybe some reduction in their capabilities. And so I think to them it's an affront to say, okay, now you have to go get a voter ID. And by the way, if you haven't used your certified birth certificate in a while, you don't know where it is, you're going to have to get another one. And then you have to get to the DMV. For a lot of folks, it's an issue of transportation. Getting to the DMV is tricky. If you happen to be a person in a wheelchair or you need a walker, it's especially tricky. But it's tricky for anyone who doesn't drive to get there. So we have, with the League of Women Voters, we have made a pledge that we will help people get there to the DMV to get their photo ID. And if they call the number for Find a Ride, which is 888-300-9796, and say they need help getting to the DMV to get their voter ID, we will get them there. And then there are folks who will help them secure their certified birth certificate, too, because a lot of it's done online. And if you call, then, you know, you have to use a credit card. Well, maybe people don't have those kinds of things because a lot of elderly people just don't believe in that. So it's bothersome to me. The whole process is very bothersome. I'm sure there are lots of people that would agree with that. I'm not alone in that. And it just, having grown up in the 60s, become an adult in the 60s, I remember, you know, some of the civil rights things and people voting for the first time and being confronted by others who said you have to show your driver's license to them, which really was not required, but it was a way of intimidating people. And I just hope that's not what we're doing in Wisconsin.
Jane, I know the League of Women Voters is one of the groups challenging this law in court. Could you talk a little bit about why the challenge is happening? And will anything be done, do you think, before next fall when most people will probably go to the ballot?
I mean, I'm not an expert on lawsuits, but I doubt if anything will happen before next fall. This is probably a long-term kind of process. And, you know, the league has, I think, focused on the fact that it creates an extra burden on people, and there's a term for it, which I'm just blocking right now. But it when people have to show the photo ID, and it's as we've talked about earlier, and they don't have that photo ID, and then they have to get a birth certificate, it becomes like a poll tax. And so when people can't go vote because they need another piece of information, that information costs money. While the ID itself may be free, the other pieces of information are not. We all know that. It is certainly not free. So for most people, $25, $28, $30, they can do that. But for someone who is really struggling, and again, this law won't – I will be able to vote. You know, for people who are mainstream, this law won't change anything. I might be annoyed to have to show an ID, but I'll do it. For people who don't have an extra $30, or if you think of two adults in a family, that would be an extra $60. That's going to be a burden for some families. And then you place on it if someone doesn't have a home and they can't get their ID, or they don't – you know, I read in the paper recently where there was a woman who never had a birth certificate. So what does she do? I mean, there are all these sort of they might be unique in some ways, but all those unique people add up to, my guess is, a fairly substantial population. And the likelihood that they are going to reach out to us and ask for help is probably not going to happen. Instead, they will just become more of the outliers and more disenfranchised than what they already are. And so I think the league's purpose is just more about saying this is a poll tax. There are some other issues with it, but I think that that's the main one that the league has focused on.
The absentee voting process in the state of Wisconsin has become quite a bit more liberal than it used to be. You're allowed to vote sooner for a longer period of time, absentee. Will this affect the absentee process at all?
There is legislation still pending on the absentee ballot, so I don't think it's completely been determined. But it seems like that those who have been on the absentee ballot for a considerable length of time, I don't know what that is, that it will just automatically continue and they will not have to show an ID. And there is a way to get on the absentee ballot that you, as long as you permanently have to be on the absentee ballot, then that also is supposed to be non-intrusive or somehow made easier for people. So I don't quite understand how that process works or exactly what the procedures are, but I think the county clerk could tell you.
Mm-hmm. And I think it follows the same process to get the absentee ballot, but I do think there's a list one can get on, and then you'll get the absentee ballot forever. But I think it's the same process that you have to show an ID.
Aren't there good places to go on the internet for education?
The Government Accountability Board has done a nice job of putting together some information. The Legal Women Voters of the La Crosse area has also put together some packets of information that we're trying to do some education and outreach that people would be able to take the packets and help people get a photo ID. This is one of those things that's sort of tricky because it seems easy on the surface. And then when you start getting to all the, you know, well, what about this and what about that, it gets much trickier. And the other piece that I think people may not recognize is that there's a difference between getting a photo ID to be able to vote and registering to vote. They're two different processes. And so people have to understand that Wisconsin still has same-day registration, but you have to have the photo ID, and then you still have to have the paperwork, you know, the mail or other pieces of information that will register a person. So it's two very different processes, and I'm concerned that people will get them confused and thinking that they've done one, that they've done both, but they're still different.
I just wanted to mention that the League of Women Voters, AARP, and the Aging Unit are hosting some informational, educational kind of events. And we have put them across the county, Onalaska, Holman, West Salem, and La Crosse. We are actually going to be doing that at the City Hall or the Village Hall. Tuesday, January 10th will be 10:30 a.m. at Onalaska City Hall. Wednesday, January 11th will be at Holman Village Hall at 1:30 p.m. Thursday, January 12th is West Salem Village Hall at 1:30. And Friday, January 13th is at La Crosse City Hall at 10:30 a.m. And the whole idea is to get information out to people who may need those photo IDs, or possibly their family members, their advocates, and also maybe professionals who have people that they're helping that may need a photo ID. And, you know, it'll just be a short educational presentation, and then we'll be available to help people whatever way we can, whatever questions they need answered, so that they can get the photo ID.
Just an observation through our discussion. I can tell neither of you like this law very much. Why do you think it is that people who don't like the law are the ones who are educating others about it, as opposed to those who are staunch supporters of the law?
I don't know exactly. I think that, you know, from the perspective of the people that I work with and talk to, it sort of is like this was a solution in search of a problem. If there wasn't a problem, why does this become one when there are so many other issues to work on? And so I think from you know, my perspective is that while we don't know how many people this will affect, our concern is that will affect many people. And so it's coming out of that place of concern that there could be people who don't know what to do or how to get their photo ID. And we just want to make sure that there's as much information as possible. And I think for people who don't mind the law, what I hear consistently is that they think most people have an ID. And they're probably right. Most people probably do. And so from my perspective, it's worried more about the people who don't. It may be a smaller number of people, but I think their votes are as important as the larger number of people who have that. So that's where I come from on it, and I think that's where probably a lot of league people come from on it, is that we want to see everyone's vote count. And I think, you know, as a female who knows what women had to go through to get the right to vote, you know, it comes from that place of everyone's vote should count, because a lot of people have worked very hard for that to happen. And I just don't want to see anyone lose that ability to do it.
Jane Claycamp is president of the League of Women Voters of the La Crosse area, and Noreen Holmes is director of the La Crosse County Aging Unit. They spoke with John Davis about the new Wisconsin voter ID law that begins with the February primary. A series of forums are being held next week in the La Crosse area to educate voters about the law. More information about the law and forums is available on our website, wpr.org/lacrosse. Thanks for listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Our production team includes Steve Roysom, John Gatto, Mary Meehan Strube, and our senior news editor and producer, John Davis. To hear archives of this or other recent editions of Newsmakers, visit our website at wpr.org/lacrosse. In addition to Newsmakers, you'll find archived reports and special series produced by the La Crosse News Bureau. And if you'd like to comment on this week's Newsmakers or have a suggestion for future shows, you'll also find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/lacrosse. Newsmakers is also now on Facebook. Updates on future shows, links to our archives, and more. Follow us at WPR Newsmakers on Facebook.